you are my friend, and this is the theme song. Did not think this could get sillier. I was very wrong. I am humbled.
Perfect and wonderful. I could see the anime OP as you sang. Welcome.
There is one season of Naruto we recently learned where the refrain is "You are my friend," and it's just uncut anime with no chaser.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome one and all to the Dice Peaks for 10 million hit point planet. This has been one of the silliest things we've done, not just on the podcast, but as people.
Definitely, like, full stop.
So hopefully you enjoyed it. We certainly had a time. I think it was a good time, but it was yes. It was definitely a time.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think that this is the kind of system where, like, it takes you back to when you are, you know, 7 or 8 years old, playing in the backyard, yes. Like swinging sticks around, saying like, "All right, and then this is an energy beam, and it blows off your arm," you know, and then like, "Oh, then what happens next?" Like, it's that kind of an energy.
My arm is now six other guys. They pop out of there. Yeah, it's just like the pure yes ending of a GM-less system combined with that, like, little kid, like, what is the highest number I can think of? Like, that's this system.
It did take me all the way back to me and my neighborhood friends when I was in, like, junior high, going into an empty lot in our neighborhood and trying to build like a apocalypse bunker with nothing more than like a couple of shovels and what we could find like in the woods, you know, because it is all imagination, you know, and very much the like, well, this design over here is actually like a turret that shoots pine cones, you know, just what if you had to do math. kind of bolted onto that. Speaking of which, just to reiterate something that we said in the episode, I stand by the way that I've read the language, but upon revisiting the play example, I think Des was right, and you know, we were supposed to be a times three, and a times three is a times six, not a times nine. But on the other hand, as I think we observed, this is definitely the only way we would have gotten it done in one session. So this is our house rule.
No, I still maintain that the MOOCs would have destroyed
the MOOCs. Definitely would have,
because that was strictly within how they were written, and that's
yeah, MOOC percent would still have done it. Maybe not quite as quickly. But that would have been a very different story.
Dude, E to the 40.
Because it doubles every time. The way the system is written, there's no cap onto what damage the MOOCs can do. They were basically all Super Saiyans by the end.
Yeah, like, before we started, I had calculated that it would take 23 power to have the MOOCs one hit KO the planet.
And once you start...
And then I dropped in eight times that
amount. Right. And once you start adding the gear in, especially like if you're doing it as a drip feed, that's kind of different than if you are getting six at a time, but your initial 500 odd thousand damage kind of, you know, there wasn't a case for that in the rules as written, which, to be clear, as you are our patrons here, these rules are something of like a beta, I guess. I don't want to say that they're unfinished. They're not. But there is language in the rules about, like, you know, if I, you know, get a Kickstarter, a graphic will go here. You know, the idea is that this is so they could develop more in the future, I guess, is the way I would put it.
Yeah, that's well put. That's well put. And yes, I mean, like, we were sometimes within the spirit of the law, sometimes within the letter of the law. We made a really good story. I'm a little, like, if I have a low, it's that we weren't maybe flavorful enough around some of the MOOCs. Because, like, especially if we were on a trajectory where they were the real heroes, where they were the people rose up and tore apart the planet, that's a very different story than this, like, you know, anime superhero, the power of friendship thing we did, which, don't get me wrong, ruled. but, yeah, it's just these two completely different tracks where either we can get our numbers so high that we kill the planet many times over, or... the MOOCs rise up so much, the people rise up so much that they just, they end, there's, it's a much more proletarian eschaton, I guess.
Well, and to that point, like if we were going to do this system again, one of the things that I would want to do is have either an offer on mic prologue where we sort of describe how we know each other, where we're starting off, like just kind of establish a baseline, which is not like necessary, but I think for radio would be a good idea.
I do wish we had done that. I dove right into a first move, but I wish I'd spent a little more time on table setting.
Yeah. I think that a lack of setup harmed the sort of flavor vibes of the whole thing. So we went very much with the mechanical vibes, and holy shit, this game has mechanical vibes.
Yeah, to that point, the math does take a lot of the brain space, you know, by design. It's supposed to be, well, silly, you know? So it is a little challenging for me, somebody who doesn't have extremely strong mental math skills, and doesn't have much working memory either, to go from, okay, I got the numbers, now let me, like, you know, think about everything I need to describe. But that is a me problem, I guess.
Yeah, well, and to that point, you know, I feel like there's a bit of a parallel process going on as I was playing, that, you know, the characters are fighting the earth and the players are fighting the math. And so, you know, I'd say that, I mean, my high, in addition to just like all of the wonderful storytelling ideas of my fellow players, you know, is just, I feel very grateful for the help that, you know, as I was doing, walking through my turn, other folks were there to help me to kind of add things up and keep track of things and make suggestions. And it was, so it was a very much collaborative mechanic going on, and I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, my low was along the lines of what other folks have already named with regards to, like, if we had more than 20 or 30 minutes to throw together our characters, understand the mechanics, skim through the rules, and then start, then it would have allowed me to kind of give some more thought as to my character, the connections between characters, give more thought as to what my wacky powers might be as a human piloted by a robot. And so I think that we came up with good stuff, but I think that it could have been even better and gone more smoothly if we'd had more time to prepare.
I agree with that. Yeah. And I think we did do a really good job, especially in that middle bit, the one time we got to like slow down and be in town, of sneaking and world, like character building and world building both. You know,
I loved that you just declared that we were enemies.
Yeah, I was puzzled.
In order to forgive each other for mechanical bonus.
I figured
you
knew where we were where I was going with it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's like, ah, yes.
It's the kind of game where declaring each other ancient enemies is purely mechanically advantageous because it just gives you a card to play.
Yeah, I thought I missed something there. I'm like, okay, these are, and nope. I must have been doing some math in the background or distracted, like, because like they're, these two have such a rich backstory now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I miss that? Just play it cool, assume that you know what's going on, but no, that just came out of the blue.
I think I have a sort of toss-up pie. On the one hand, there was my Night on Bald Mountain Fantasia animation emergence from my tomb, which was incredible.
Very strong.
And on the other hand, like, the notion of combining your history of my imprisonment with my own history of my
imprisonment. That's a really juicy idea. Yeah.
Felt really good, yeah. Like, we didn't do anything with it, but it just felt really good.
To me, it felt like a justification for just how OP we became, right? Like, it wasn't just that we buried the hatchet; it's that we reconciled like history and our own relationships. So, like, like the amount of work we were doing, the fact that we had these two robot-y, you know, entities like coming together to decide what humanity is, and we had these like two ancient enemies becoming allies and destroying the elements together. Like, we squeezed in a lot of stuff. I do totally agree that if we'd had more,
and also we got screen time for Rip.
Also, we got screen time for Rip Timothy, which I'm always in favor of, and we got Adam to say it, so it's a triple victory, and everything else was gravy after that. But it's like it would have been.
Got
totally
me to say
agree.
What?
Oh no. He has control over the edit. We may never know. No, it would have been even cooler, I agree, if we had spent a little time figuring out, like, why does this planet suck so much? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, again, like, I'm sorry if it was ever disorienting, Nick, where I would just say shit, like, you know, like,
no, like I we're think ancient it's enemies, great.
Or, like, the Earth angering ritual. Or like...
Oh, that was pure gold. I loved that so much. That might have been my, like, the highlight for me.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That was probably the funniest single detail was the Earth angering ritual.
Yes.
Well, I also just liked that everybody had their reason why it was their fault. None of
that
which
was so good,
except yeah. me, the one who right. was evil. Right.
And it just—you
really... had a really good alibi. You were sealed for eternity at the time.
And right. there's like no authoritative answer
at the time,
you know, either. The
but yeah, just Earth angering yeah. ritual.
The Broken Earth trilogy references were another high spot for me. Those were mm-hmm. those were great.
Yes.
If you haven't read those, maybe give them a try. They're...
This was a weirdly literate yeah. episode in terms of our references, because also, like, Nick asked me in downtime for what's a book I could read and totally misunderstand, and I offered him up one of my favorite space operas.
That's great.
Yeah. For my...
We're sneaking you a reading list, dear listener.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, so A Memory Called Empire by Arkady Martin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the whole Broken Earth trilogy, I believe the only trilogy of books where each one as it came out won the Hugo that
Indeed.
Year
yeah.
in history.
I believe it's the second where all three of the volumes won the Hugo. This one is differentiated by being in three consecutive.
Right. Oh, interesting. Back to back. What was the first? So first of all, that rules, and that's a good detail and a good... Yeah, what was the first one, though?
I can't remember.
Interesting, okay.
But... The internet.
Trivia corrected. But yeah, the point being, you know, awards aside, they're just really fucking good books. So
I they are. Remember. They are.
Correct.
For me, my high is unspecific, but I was tickled the whole time to just be role-playing this anime trope irregardless of what else was going on in the story. I don't know if that was entertaining to listeners. I don't know how entertaining it was to my players, but it was just fun for me
as
to
fuck
do.
For
oh, I loved it. Yes.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely
it added so much flavor.
Well, I like the idea that this, you know, the thing about a lot of anime character tropes is that they're fundamentally self-absorbed, right? Like, right. that's the kind of the defining right. characteristic of a lot of them.
Yeah.
So it's very funny to have just like all of this entertaining, weird stuff that's literally world-ending going on around you. But no, I need to tell my Mega Man by way of Persona 3 story in the margins. God help me.
You know? No, and the misplaced monologue, misplaced in like terms of classical pacing, but totally perfect in this context where it's like, yeah, I'm going to do this incredibly efficacious thing and destroy the world, but first I need to give you a right. two paragraph dump of,
well, and like everybody else perfect. Is doing like I'm gonna be a human suit turducken and like the Mesoamerican ball player king is going to bury the hatchet with the Draco Lich, but my character is completely oblivious and just over here, like, you know, doing a parallel story that's like serious.
But what is my purpose?
Cool,
yeah, it was
like,
so
you know, just really like I was basically trying to channel what I know of Ari Ferretta through the character that I built, which is also known for those who maybe have seen it as pulling a misfit at Demon King Academy, a series where the joke is. Is it serious or is it a joke? It is a series that includes the line, you thought that stopping time could stop me? And like, there is no like sound effect or visual cue or something that tells you that that's a joke, but it has to be a joke. And that's the whole,
right.
the whole vibe of the 12 episode first season is just like, this is funny whether they meant it to be or not. I hope they meant it to be funny. That's what I was shooting for anyway. So that was my high, is just getting to do all that extremely nonsensical trope work.
It's nice. it's such a good character to have. And like, I don't know how you would fit it into a more like serious or simply longer campaign. Mm-hmm. So like, it was perfect for this. It was so good.
But like, it seemed like, when we're doing the silliest thing we've ever done on the podcast, that was the place for this character to exist.
Absolutely.
I guess as for a low, I had chosen as my power trigger overcoming mechanical damage or limitations with willpower, and I really didn't set myself up for very much of that until the very last thing, which was already spurious because the Mooks had taken care of the planet several times over by that point. A little bit of a wasted premise, maybe a tie there, just shoehorning in the extremely dumb name that my given name was an acronym for. I agonized over it going in because I'm terrible with names. And then, like, of course, it barely comes up because nobody in the course of punching the planet is going to be like, here's my backstory. We only had the one downtime phase to work with, so it never really came up.
I'm not sure that I ever quite figured out what triggers do. I just kept doing mine because it seemed appropriate.
They give you a point of your chosen color of power.
Oh, okay.
Is all they do, yeah. So you had a smattering of, yeah, mine, of those.
we were very light on the planet attacking us, true, so mine never really came up. Mm-hmm. Also, it appears that so there are five people that have won 3 Hugo best novels. Two of those are arguably trilogies for their winners. Connie Willis with various of her interrelated time travel books, and Werner Vinge with 2 sci-fi doorstops that are delightful. I've read all of these books. They're great. But one that is sort of a bridge interstitial between the two of them. So those may qualify. I can't remember what like the authority was cited for the post that I read, but that none of those were consecutive years, unlike Broken.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's the nature of that triple crown, is just like, the speed at which she wrote them, and then the fact that each of them won a Hugo in its respective year is remarkable.
And like, kind of deservedly. I kind of, not to get a sidetracked or anything, but I got that trilogy as a Christmas present from my mom 1 year, and then read through them in pretty rapid succession. And because of the nature of my day job, I don't read for pleasure as much, or I didn't at that time especially read for pleasure as much as I used to. So it was kind of a revelation for Joanne to see me plow through some books in my free time and be
books.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, right. A reader with like a capital R.
Also, speaking of Connie Willis, Drew and Adam, you may both enjoy To Say Nothing of the Dog.
I like the title.
Which is a
great title.
Which is a time travel book that is a comedy of manners.
Fascinating.
I'll read that. You know, if you're listening to this, then you have given us money to do absolutely nutty stuff like what you've just heard. So thank you for that. We appreciate it.
You're here. We like to get to chat about this stuff and kind of process everything after the fact. And this one, who even knows where to start?
Definitely needed some processing.
So thanks.
Not so much aftercare, just so much as so that happened.
One, then the analysis, like that, Nick, what you said was so smart. Like, that's a skeleton key, right? Like, the helping each other wrestle with the math is the helping each other defeat the planet. That hadn't, totally the experience we just had. And I didn't realize that was the experience I was having until you described it to me.
So, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
No, that was an extremely clever, like, summation.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it would have been a completely different experience otherwise. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, if you had a tool that took care of all the crunchier stuff for you, it wouldn't feel anything like that just did.
Well, and I guess
it's we'll see how much so times 4 and 4. We'll see how much of that stays in for the listener, but not none, I have a feeling.
Yeah, no, if we took it all out, I think we'd have about 45 minutes of episode. The interesting thing, I guess, for my purposes is that you know, the systems we're going into for our campaigns next, Hardwired Island and Flying Circus, are less like calculation, but still comparatively more crunch than we've had before in terms of just like having to trigger rules and, you know, consult books and things. So this may actually, as an edit, be an instructive process for me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And as a GM as well. Both of those things are going to have to be things that I really kind of dig back into before we get on air with them. But that's perhaps neither here nor there. In the meantime, yeah, any last thoughts, anything to wrap up on?
We've been ending the world a lot lately.
It is one of my favorite things to do.
That's certainly true, given your Unknown Armies campaigns.
I will not. I think that it would be very funny to see the result if Rep Timothy gets bleeped for every instance that it shows up.
Honestly, I think that is a hilarious way of dealing with it.
I would love for someone
to just start with an R, bleep, and then end in a Y, and leave listeners wondering why that's the word that's
people
bleeped.
Googling what possible slur that could be. I mean, like, right. I do love the idea of someone like,
right,
because people do dip into just the one right. shots, right? I know because I've spoken to some in real life and even in fake life and both. Mm-hmm. And like, the idea of someone, you know, like obviously inside jokes are fine. It's something extra. If you heard the campaign, it doesn't much matter. It's just a funny name.
Right.
But the idea of like the weight of Rep Timothy just appearing right. to someone without knowing why
yeah.
is very funny to me.
Why the fuck is bleep yeah. here? Whoa.
We got Adam to say it.
Yeah. What horrible yeah. thing did you get me to say? Depending yeah, yeah. on how easy that turns out to be, maybe that's what our listeners have heard. Patrons, you're the only ones who know what we bleeped out. If we did indeed bleep it out, I'm probably not going to bleep it out. But just in case I do. In any case.
It would be a lot of effort, but it would be a very funny
gag.
On my other podcast, I've said for years that I will bleep the word gamer and only the word gamer. I still haven't done it, but it's like more funny to talk about than do, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. A lot of these sorts of bits
are. It's true. You keep trying to end this, Adam. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I'm just trying to be respectful of Nick's time, but you guys all have very entertaining things to say. So at this point, though, we would like to thank our patrons for tuning in, for giving us your money, for coming with us on this journey of one-shots and mini-arcs. And we hope that you feel that you're getting something worthwhile, because we know that with your support, we can do a lot more than we would otherwise be able to, and we thank you for it.
Hear, hear. The real eschaton was the friends we made along the way.
I forgot to mention how much my use of the word eruptive with an I bothered Des.
Yes.
Even
thanks for listening, folks. And we appreciate the you that believes in us.
Oh, well played.
Good well stuff. Played.
I don't think that rule actually came up in game, but like,
yeah.
No, negative one of us died.
It's a, right? Yeah. Like, maybe a good yeah. reason to check out the rule book.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for your support. We truly appreciate it. And I hope that you do something silly today and that you have fun.
You're here.
Mm-hmm. You're here.